Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Ewan Patterson.
Hello there.
Mr. Ewan Patterson filling in for good old JB. We don't know what's wrong with Mr. Josh Brown. He's been a bit AWOL for the last few days, hoping it's not the thing that we all think it is. But at some point, he'll return in the near future. Get well, Mr. Josh Brown, if you watch this. And hopefully you're fine. Hopefully it's all fine. But we thought we'd do another question and answer podcast because there's not that much happening this week. Although, as I say that, by the time you watch this, I think there'll be a Dead Space deep dive thing live. But whether or not that's more weird concept footage or something that's actually, you know, gameplay, we'll have to wait and see. We're recording this on the Tuesday afternoon. So we've got a whole bunch of questions sent in. So thanks to everybody for sending different thoughts and talking points in. First thing that's doing the rounds is the new Resident Evil movie. The first set of screenshots got revealed for that. Mr. Benroy, you're the biggest Resident Evil fan I know. What can you replicate your immediate reactions to this?
I was confused because I saw the two shots of the actors.
You're also quite ill. The movie has not done this to you, but it definitely contributed.
The movie, I got the T virus from this basically. What it was is Claire and Leon, they look like they look like standing.
Can't even bring himself to say the names aloud. Is that disease?
Yeah, they remind the standings you get on like an Amazon page when you go in to buy
the outfit.
So like I was curious about the castings at first, and I'm not passing judgment on anything until I see a trailer. But they just pick some, I know sometimes that you can just get some bad stills that pulled out, and like the weird things like Claire not having a ponytail, for example, or just, and Leon's sort of badges on the side, because I have a for those who are on the video, as I'm right over here going off now,
Roy walks over to the side of his room.
I have a thing from, was it Insert Coin?
Sure. And,
if you look at this, like the thing I've got here from Insert Coin, it's a reversible jacket. It's a Claire and
this is a flex.
Leon.
This
thing.
Is a hell of a flex.
It looks the same standard. If you look at the picture, anyone that's listening or watching this, have a look at the patch. They look the same quality. Mine might even look even better.
And do you know how much you paid for that jacket?
It was like £33.
Right, because that's the general budget that seems to be applied to these screenshots that we've seen so far.
You're all saying this is Resident Evil done by Wish.com.
Yeah, and also,
there's a lot of shooting going on here on like the various websites of the internet.
Yeah,
you know, but
Lisa Trevor though. Like, I have to get to Lisa Trevor because I saw that.
I wouldn't even have known what that was.
The only reason I guessed is because of the little handcuffs that the whatever they want to call it's got. And I was looking at it, I was trying to see where they were going from. And then it's like, was that film that came out a few years ago, Story You Tell in the Dark? And there's that weird red monster Magoo thing that hugs you in the red. So, and it looks like more like that than Lisa Trevor. And I was like, come on,
the best
man.
Synopsis of scary stories to tell in the dark that anyone's ever done.
Could be that. Could be that red thing from Looney Tunes.
Oh my God, the Lisa red Trevor monster from Looney Tunes. Can we do an entire podcast about him?
But basically, the outfits and the way they've composed the shots, I'm not sold by yet. And Lisa Trevor, I'm sorry, looks awful.
I think that is quite fair. I think my general reaction to it was, I just immediately noted the lack of budget. And like I said, I don't want to do obviously full thoughts until there's a proper trailer or something in motion, but it doesn't look especially promising. You and as someone who's not a massive Resident Evilsman, what were your thoughts what's your thoughts on the whole thing?
I think if you could get like a seamless cut now of the neutral planet from Futurama, when he's like, I have no strong feelings one way or the other, that would be me. Because like, yeah, I'm not a massive Resident Evil Evil fan, but I have this whole thing where I hold all video game movies in contempt. I just don't see. I think if you, it shouldn't be like the video game movies should not be difficult to do. Like if you approach it as any other piece of source material, for some odd reason, Hollywood over the years has been like, we've got to gamify these movies, man, because if they're not gamified, then they're not going to be actual adaptations, which is completely the wrong way to approach it. Obviously, there's no way, you know, I'm not judging this movie before it comes out. I'm just pointing towards the litany of botched video game movie adaptations that we've had in the past. And obviously, Ben Roy, you're a Resident Evil fan. You love those early noughts movies as well. So
they're quite fun, some of them. Yeah. Well, I have them all on Blu-ray, all of them.
The legend has it, if you say it five times in the mirror, Ben Roy will appear with five copies of the Resident Evil movie. He just has them to hand at all times. But yeah, I think that obviously they want to do something a bit different from that original 2000s run. And part of that is making it more grounded, or like getting out there and doing something like the Lisa Trevor story and doing that more realistically or whatever. I'm curious. To throw in a couple of thoughts from people that sent some stuff in. One from Dan, who says, I'm getting serious B-movie vibes from the Resident Evil screenshots released. And that's fine by me. Not sure what all the hate is about. At least we're getting Lisa Trevor. Eddie says, why does Leon have a mustache? Which I guess is kind of alongside the idea of it, maybe his badge isn't right or something like that. I guess it's how far can they stray from the expected version of those characters? Because even this year, there's the other Resident Evil animation that's on Netflix. I forget the name of it. Infinite Darkness, I think. But that also has Leon in it as like his traditional self. So maybe to some degree they need to break away. But I don't know. Do you have a general, where's your needle on this, Mr. Benroy, as we close out on this topic?
I'll wait. I can't give it any faith until I see the trailer. I don't want to go into full internet like anger rage.
You've
or
not
anything.
Got the energy for it. Maybe next week.
No energy, but yeah, I'll wait and see. But until then, I'll play some Resident Evil 5 with Josh Brown.
I don't know if that's a remedy or just will make you worse. But next question from Morgan Eyes Only, who says, Marvel's Avengers, Black Panther's just released, but obviously still not enough content is happening overall. Should the game be left to die, or should the studio double down, releasing characters closer to the one a month idea they had at the beginning? Also, does this spell bad news for Guardians of the Galaxy? Ewan, do you have general thoughts on where the hell the Avengers is at?
Yeah, I mean, the Black Panther DLC so far has looked quite promising from the previews, but I haven't played this game since
it didn't get dark, no.
Since like a month after launch. And all I'm saying is right now, it's the world's biggest Hawkeye fan, right? If you're putting both Kate Bishop and Clint Barton in your game doesn't bring me back in, then I'm not sure what will. That's and I have true. I have complete faith in those developers to turn it around, but I just think the core product of what Marvel's Avengers is just isn't that compelling. And I feel as though obviously they had a lot of stuff working against them in terms of, I know during development, a lot of the developers were displaced by the California fires, I believe. Mm. And then obviously, you know, you had the very buggy launch, which then had to be fixed immediately after two. And I kind of feel at this point, you know, is it just a case of like, you know, we've had it. I don't know. I feel as though the Black Panther DLC is the true make or break moment for this game. If they can do a proper expansion that, you know, delivers on the promise of what it was meant to be, then cool, keep going. But the fact that this game was marketed with like an exclusive Spider-Man character that was said to be coming, quote, a few months after launch, and we're pretty close to a few months at this point. So I feel as though this is pretty much a make or break scenario. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't kind of bring players back to the rafters, because I'm not sure about the current play count at the minute, I doubt it's going to be anything spectacular. But I feel as though it's such a massive investment from both Marvel Games and Square Enix. So, you know, there is merit to continue trying. And then one day someone will probably get that as a service Marvel game, you know, tied down and make squadillions of big bucks from it. But right now, I just don't see that happening, even if this DLC proves to be amazing. Because I feel as though a lot of people who played Marvel's Avengers, you know, played the story, enjoyed it for the most part, and then got into the repetitive post-game grind and was just kind of like, man, this isn't for me.
I think it was one of those games where you saw exactly what it was. Like, as soon as you got the campaign missions out the way, it was like, oh, so I'm just doing this forever. And like, you can plug a different moveset into that, but there's only so much you can do with the base framework of it. So I don't know, it's weird. There's a level of polish to it. And obviously the amount, the voice talent that's there is also also awesome. And I feel like it's just always potential in a box. It's never like fully opened or anything. It's just kind of there. And it just feels like it should be so much more than it is, but it does feel like a glorified mobile game. In terms of Guardians of the Galaxy, I feel like that's a game that people just keep forgetting is even coming. And I had a bit more positive reaction to the trailer than I think you guys did. I was just like, that scene where it showed Peter Quill sitting with the Guardians and they're all arguing and you can jump in and cut them off. And I was like, that's the thing he does in the movie. I'll do that.
I have a different rant about this. I really hate how the MCU is becoming, you know, the go-to source for these adaptations. The big problem with Marvel's Avengers to me is that it was dogged by comparisons to the MCU from the off because they leaned into that kind of modern Ultimates-esque aesthetic, which doesn't help their case at all because they're trying to build their own interpretation. And I do think that Marvel's Avengers is its own thing, but certainly in the case of, like, you know, that game, it used the Avengers lineup from the 2012 movie, barring Kamala Khan. And then the Guardians of the Galaxy, it's very much leading into, you know, the James Gunn movies. And obviously, you know, they are taking stuff from the comics too, but they're even having their own awesome mix. And it's the exact same lineup from the movie. And you can only play as Peter Quill, which I think in itself is a big kind of turn off for a lot of people. Weird, yeah. And I just, like, you have so many Guardians of the Galaxy members to use from the comics, but yet again, we're leading into the MCU. I just find it somewhat uninspired and emblematic of you know, Disney's attempts to make the MCU, like, you know, the default jumping on point for all things Marvel currently.
It feels like the timing is so off as well. Like, it just feels like, you know, like even the Avengers was way too late. Like, you know, it came after Endgame, and then now we're doing a Guardians game multiple years after both Guardians movies. Ben Roy, as a sort of lapsed Marvel fan, are you remotely bothered about the Avengers, or will you be returning for Guardians of the Galaxy?
All I'm saying is, if, when I played the Phantom Menace game, it came out around the time the Phantom Menace came out, and I could play as not only Obi-Wan Kenobi, but Qui-Gon Jinn, Captain Panaka, Queen Amidala herself. I'm just saying, if you can't let me play as Drax in this new game, or I am Tree Man Groot or anyone else, then I don't know. I want to be Mary Poppins, y'all. And if you're not going to let me be Mary Poppins, then yeah, way of saying I'm not in for this one, Jim.
No, I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, at some point, the production scale has to change. The timelines need to change. It needs to be released alongside the movie that it lines up with. Because I'm like one of the only people in the world, other than the people who made it, that liked the Captain America game. Mainly just because I like stotting a shield off people. And I thought that was fun. But that obviously came alongside the movie, or is very close to it anyway.
But this is what I mean. Yeah. You're talking about movie stuff. And it's trying to be its own thing. True. And like, but everyone's kind of, the MCU is such an all-encompassing, monolithic thing. And for the Guardians, who, you know, kind of became popular through the MCU, it's very difficult for them to kind of escape that influence. So I totally get what you mean about, you know, the idea of it having a release closer towards the movie. But I think if they leaned further away from the movies in this, they probably would, people would maybe feel less, you know, kind of like, oh, why is this not releasing in line with the movies? It was very much its own interpretation. And again, I'm not saying that it's completely devoid of originality, but if it was leaning less into the MCU and wasn't going being like, oh, we've got our own awesome mix, but instead of 60s and 70s tunes, it's 80s tunes. And
well, that was the thing. Yeah. Like, you know, when Avengers dropped and people kind of realized that, like, hey, that's not Chris Evans, that's not Robert Downey Jr. And there was a whole talking point around that. Whereas I think if you've been watching it from the beginning, you knew that wasn't going to be the case. But because they had one foot in the MCU reference and one foot in their own thing, and it didn't really land very well. I wonder if that is the underlying kind of vibe towards Avengers, where it's like, oh, it feels like knockoff Avengers. It just doesn't feel, they're aiming for authenticity and missing it, and it's not its own thing, like Ultimate Alliance 3. And I know that also borrows a lot from the MCU in terms of boss battles and stuff, but still, like, you know, they didn't go down like a more over animated art style or something that would differentiate it in that way. I don't know if I wouldn't say the game should die, but I don't know what you do at this point. Maybe you do sort of just slowly wrap it up. I feel like they've completely mishandled the timing, the rollout, the characters, stuff like that. And like Guardians of the Galaxy, I'll be amazed if that hits the top 20, just because it's just so left field. But next question from Tristan Vetter, who says, afternoon good sirs, if Microsoft didn't have Game Pass, do you think Halo Infinite would still be releasing this year? Due to missing modes and content, they couldn't have released it as a full price game. Keep up the good work. Now, I thought that Halo Infinite was a separate release, or you could buy it. If you didn't have Game Pass, you could buy Halo Infinite by itself. I can't actually find any mention of that. All I can find is Phil Spencer saying that Halo Infinite is coming to Game Pass. So the way that it seems like it's rolling out, and obviously the comments can correct this if I'm wrong, is that the multiplayer is free. free, because it's all they always said the multiplayer is going to be free to play, or they have this year. And the campaign is something you only get if you get it on Game Pass. And that kind of lets them skirt around the reality or the potential that the campaign isn't finished, or the campaign's very short, or whatever the campaign is. Because we haven't seen any of it since last year, and obviously it was delayed anyway. And they got Joseph Staten back in, they've touched it up, and there was rumors that it's going to be released episodically or it's going to be released in chunks. So I kind of think all that stuff is quite fascinating. But yeah, I mean, like, how much do you think that they just need a big first-party game at this point versus, you know, if they delayed Halo again, would that just look so bad optically?
I just think, like, Halo needs to sort of come out in some respect. And if the multiplayer is as there and as good as it looks from what they're shown and from what people have played, it looks like they're going back to kind of what a lot of people that were there for Halo want from Halo, rather than like a Call of Duty knockoff with bright purple like sort of outfits. And then if the campaign's there as well, I'm still, it's weird because we'll probably know straight away when you jump into it, like why there wasn't co-op showing, but it feels weird that there isn't. But then there might be two ways of tracking each player's progress that they can't do, or they could do, but it's not worth the time. Or well, there's so many thing, like, things floating around. Yeah, like I'm, for me, it's like, it's just, I feel like it needs to come out at this point and not be lingering out further, because next year it just it's like, you know, you're moving your homework to the next day and it's all just piling. There are so many video games coming out in like Q1 next year. It already feels overwhelming as it is.
I mean, that was the whole thing with last year, that apparently the multiplayer was good to go, and they toyed with the idea of releasing that separately last year. So yeah, if they've had another year to set a bunch of the members of 343 different teams to make sure the multiplayer is rock solid, and then even if the campaign is really weak, maybe you can get away with that. I mean, the Call of Duty Modern Warfare's campaign at Black Ops Cold War were both really short. So it's like, maybe you just tick that box, get something out there and just go, but also multiplayer, and just point everybody that way. And hope that works.
I feel as though it's just like, you know, the lore and the universe, the world building of Halo, like that's like inextricably connected to the product. It's not as removed as I would argue Call of Duty is. Obviously, Call of Duty has its iconic characters and stories or whatever, but Halo, the main impetus for kind of getting into the multiplayer is that kind of solid grounding in the actual lore of the universe and stuff. And I don't know, there's this idea of like build your own Halo, like you can have a bit of the multiplayer, you can have a bit of this thing. I think is Forge releasing separately as well?
Yeah. It's just
so weird. And like for a proper AAA experience, it doesn't feel becoming of the franchise. Obviously, you know, this could be the way we just experience games now, which, you know, has its own pros and cons or whatever. But I just, yeah, I don't know. I feel as though if you're going to do Halo, you're going to do your big, you know, Halo game kind of leading into the next generation of consoles and stuff, then it should have everything in one package. Like, that's just me. That's just how I feel.
I mean, the general response to the fact that they said they're delaying the co-op mode's not going to be in there at launch, and Forge isn't going to be there at launch, that had a pretty big backlash or response to it, because a lot of people just assume that they'll play Halo multiplayer or play the campaign in multiplayer. And that was like a big deal. And I'll roll in another comment from Jack Asbury, who said, since when was it acceptable for games to be given out in small parts that you have to collect to make a full game, a bit like what Halo Infinite is doing? I think
with my Yu-Gi-Oh deck of different Halo parts.
That's the thing. Like, I think over time, I mean, there was that meme that did the rounds back in sort of 2014, 2015 of, you know, like a picture of a hamburger, and it was like, you know, price tag. And then that was like across the 2000s. And then after that, it's like, you know, £5 for the burger, £2 for a piece of lettuce, and £3 for a bun or whatever. And you slowly make the thing that you wanted at the beginning. I think, I don't know, I think that it makes it more acceptable if they price it differently. I think that the way that it seems like they're going to do Halo, like I said before, the way they're going to segment it, where you have, you know, you can get a tier of Game Pass for very cheap, I think less than £10 at this point. If you really want to play the campaign, if you just want multiplayer, it's free anyway. So that would be a way to make it acceptable to me. But it does make Halo this online multiplayer platform and not remotely similar to the big campaigns that we used to get. But at some point, maybe that's all they can do.
The feeling I've got of this is like, this will make a great book one day when we find out what happened to this game, where it was at the beginning, because it's happened with a few films, like say World War Z, where there's like, let's just refilm the entire last act of the film. Right. But that's only a very small point, where it feels like they've probably taken up half of the campaign, ripped up and like stapled more bits in, and they can, because it's a digital space in the end day. It's not like they have to go anywhere and like make this game in like a field somewhere, you know what I mean? Like, sorry, but it just, I can't wait to find out exactly what happened with this and what went wrong, but what changed, and the new management that came in, the ones that went out, and from everywhere, and sort of like I think someone like Phil might, I don't know how hands on with Phil today. He's not obviously not in there encoding it himself every day. He's too busy rearranging his shelf for podcasts and stuff. But I imagine like this, like especially someone like that who cares about the brand, like knows that Halo is very important to Xbox. It's 20 years for each of them. And I just can't wait to see what goes on this. But at the same time, because it's really still in Game Pass, and it's like the price of Game Pass is like a fiver for the standard tier. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're paying 70 odd pounds for a game when the multiplayer is free. And as much as I only play these games co-op, I can sort of like not get over it. But if it's a different, it's not a standard like product. And then if it's changing in some way, then I can sort of live with it. And Forge, again, it's not something I would dive into, but we're getting pretty much most of the thing there. But it's just confusing. I just don't know why co-op isn't there.
The thing that is breaking me, like you said, like, yeah, at some point there'll be a really great story to be told about the reality of what happened across production, because there are small Master Chief glyphs inside the Xbox Series S and the Xbox Series X. They're emblazoned onto parts of the components. There's one of them on the one of the cooling fans, and there's another one on one of the side parts in the Series X.
Yeah.
And there was that whole thing about the Monster Energy like campaign, the marketing campaign that was going to be running up to Halo Infinite, collect your XP, get all this stuff, build all these XP tokens and cash them in on Halo Infinite. And then Infinite got delayed and Monster had to have this whole thing where they still had to go, well, you can preload all the XP and carry it over to next year and do this stuff. So it was such a last minute thing.
And because... we're preloading the XP. Like,
I did that with Gears, but I didn't use this one. What I did is I got all my tokens, and then when I wanted to go down to see my family, or pass my family last year at Christmas, mm-hmm. I brought my friend all these little tokens. I was like, there you go. Save them for next year. So all these little like
drink up.
All these little can tops are just basically ripped off and in a little bag and chucked them in. So,
but I mean, like, you know,
cash them in next year.
Yeah, there's obviously like a workaround for it, but I mean the reality of how last minute that change was. And I remember at the time there was a video, I think it was from ReviewTech USA, looking at different Glassdoor reviews of people who were either leaving 343 or talking about the reality of working there, just saying that the way that they had the build set up was that they couldn't commit a change and then see it, like, it, you know, they couldn't actually make a change to the game engine or whatever they wanted to tweak and see it in real time. They had to commit it, wait for a different wing of the company to approve, come back the next day, okay, actually that's been revoked, okay, try something else. And it was just this really horribly mismanaged thing, and whether that's true or not, I don't know, but obviously that led to the delay and everything, and then now it's 1 year, it's almost entirely 1 year later. And also there's the whole thing about the campaign or the actual release date leaking, them not saying anything about it officially. They kind of ducked out of Gamescom. The Xbox showcase the day before was really thin on the ground, and they didn't say anything about the release date. So it's kind of just, it's 8th of December.
The cheeky, you know, their Twitter account is like really cheeky these days, and like it did these sort of eyes sort of thing, which is always like fun, but at the same time, just post an official statement at that point. But
I just don't think the average person knows when the next Halo is coming, and that's a massive problem.
And what kind of Halo they're gonna get as well. Yeah. Like for me, Halo will always be like that custom game community driven kind of, you know, experience where it's like you have Forge, you have the custom game element. That's like the main charm. My main favorite things about Halo 3 wasn't like, I enjoy playing competitive multiplayer, but the main thing was always kind of the custom games and the user created content. So the idea of just them launching a Halo experience without either of those things, like, to me that's just diluting the brand. And like we've seen it, you know, increasingly over the past, you know, decade of, you know, the way brands like certain video game series have changed. And I feel as though these are core components of Halo. Like they should be all together as one. Otherwise, what you're releasing, you know, it might have Halo elements in it and it might be a Halo shooter at the end of the day, but it isn't the complete Halo package. And again, I just find that baffling as someone, I mean, I've not, you know, played a Halo game since Halo 4. So, you know, that's quite a while being out of the game, but it's just a case of like, you know, if you're gonna do Halo, these components should all be part of one thing, I think.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be like the big return. Like, you know, Halo 4 was what, like 2012, Halo 5 is 2015. Like, it's been a while. And then obviously the whole Halo 5 marketing campaign was a complete disaster. So it's like, there's a lot of people coming back in for Halo Infinite or just curious about it. Ben, were you going to say something else before?
I was just saying also like Gears 5 launched in a weird state as well, because that was all in one. That was the thing that really dead sold. It's basically my Game Pass is not Game Pass, it's my Gears 5 tax. I just pay every month to play Gears 5.
Gears, but like, subscription service.
That launched, but then that game was also weirdly broken, where like when you went into bigger areas, it couldn't, like, I'm not saying that it's time to do a Game Pass, but like, that game sort of failed. So I wonder why that's a thing, like, because this Halo is meant to be in larger areas and like this roaming landscape. Maybe there's something there as well where they can't get the servers to sort of like serve us the right sort of game. So I'm just trying to pick apart for all the things that have happened with like the first party releases we've had from Microsoft, which are like very slim. Like you've got like 17 Forzas in like 3 years, and then like a Gears 5 game. So yeah, I have faith because I feel like it's not gonna go on for this long and come out trash. It's not like, say, I'm just picking it out about like THQ publishing like a Homefront 2 or something where it's just like, just throw it in the bin sort of thing. This is Halo. It's Microsoft. I have faith in the people and the mix management, and we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
That's kind of my side of it, where I'm just like, if you're them and you like, you walk into the room's on fire, the classic sort of meme scenario, then you have to start putting things together. And they brought Joseph Staten back in, and obviously there was that tweet from him post Gamescom, people saying, why did we not see the Halo campaign? Like, it's coming out in a few months. And he was like, oh, you know, we're heads down, we're just bug fixing, it's going to be ready for December. And I'm just kind of like, you know, at some point, like you said, they're Microsoft, it's Xbox, it's Halo. We just need to tick that box. Like, it's just like Crackdown 3. Like, they just, at some point, something needs to come out so we can say, hey, there's something on a shelf and we haven't completely messed it up. And I wonder if that's all it is. What version of this game can we slice enough parts off to get to something that releases for Christmas? Because it was such a mess last year. And even the Master Chief Collection took 8 years to fix. So I'm just... it's kind of crazy, but yeah, we'll wait and see. December 8th is when Halo Infinite drops, and maybe they'll do a showcase before then, but right now they just seem to be all heads down, they're fixing for December. Next question from Teddy the Elf, great name. Would love to hear you guys talk about the Gamescom reveals from last week, although I know they were a little bit lackluster. Midnight Suns and Saints Row were the only two big ones that we didn't already know about, and we touched on this last week. You wouldn't have done, though. What are your thoughts on the old Midnight Suns and Saints Row?
First of all, it's blasphemous that it's spelled with a U and not an O. What are you doing? It's not, they're not a star. They're the Suns, the Midnight Suns. Also, talking about that MCU influence, what the bloody hell is Iron Man doing in my supernatural Marvel game? Like, come on. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm totally looking forward to this interpretation or whatever. I think, you know, supernatural Marvel is such an untapped resource that we're going to see more of as the, you know, ironically, as the movies kind of venture towards that direction with Blade and, you know, Moon Knight and stuff. But it is just daft to me. Like, watching that trailer, I was like, oh, this is really cool. You know, we've got... Ghost Rider, you know, we've got Blades. I mean, Wolverine kind of works because he has some of that supernatural backstory in certain areas. I forget who else is in the roster, but I think the Hellstrom twins are in it as well. Mm-hmm. And
obviously the main character was customizable as well.
Yeah, and like more characters will be coming in as well and stuff like that. But like, what, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Captain America, this is just blatant, just like,
remember these guys?
I've really kind of dosed my head in, because it's a case of, now it feels like no Marvel thing can stand on its own if it doesn't have these characters. You remember back in the day, you know, Scott, when Wolverine was massively popular, you'd see him crop up in all these games, but it kind of made sense because he's a part of the Marvel universe. He gets involved in all sorts of different things because as a character, he kind of spans multiple genres. Mm-hmm. Iron Man has no business helping Doctor Strange and the Midnight Suns to vanquish some evil spirit. It just doesn't. It really frustrates me. That's my big nerdy rant. It's like, if you're going to do a supernatural Marvel game, commit to it. Don't dilute the entire premise by just going, well, we need Iron Man's popular. Whatever, the MCU Avengers captain, both captains are in there now.
It's kind of like, it feels
don't
like...
bother doing it.
Yeah, it's because this is like the first time that, because there was rumored for ages that Firaxis, the XCOM people, were doing a turn-based Marvel game, and it was like, that's kind of cool. And I wonder if they looked at it and looked at the fact they did the War of the Chosen DLC for XCOM 2, i.e. there's a bunch of high-powered characters that you're going to build towards and do, and that's your go-to mission structure, your go-to game structure, and then do it this way, where it's like, well, there's alternate versions of Wolverine and Iron Man and all the people that you recognize, go and take them down. What's it going to be like to fight them, and figure all these different ways to do that? And maybe that's just the easiest way to do a turn-based top-down strategy game, but for the mass Marvel audience. At some point, they must have like made that call, because I mean, I hadn't even heard of the Midnight Suns until that trailer. So for me, I was just like, they must be the Midnight Suns. I don't even know what that is. And so like, that's kind of cool. And the art style is kind of cool. And I kind of just went with it from that. Ben, what were your general thoughts on Gamescom as an event, and Midnight Suns or Saints Row, if you want?
Gamescom. Sorry.
Gamescom
struck me as an event that I could not invest in and then just read three bullet points of what actually happened. It felt like a lot of, it felt like these showcases where there was nothing really of substance, and like there was, bless everyone like for having their like game shown up on there and everything like that. I'm not hating. At the same time, I feel like it wasn't worthy of like the big pop. So like it could have probably gone like half the time, for example, things like that. It just feels like too long, feels like too drawn out. Mm-hmm. Like my little rant here, and I'm just sad that XCOM is going to sleep and we're getting a Marvel game instead from Firaxis, because I would like more XCOM.
I think for me, it was like, I love what Jeff Keighley's been able to put together. I think it's kind of fascinating watching him juggle the fact that he slowly took the E3 spotlight away, and he's kind of got Opening Night Live. He has the Game Awards, which are like, for me, is the Game Awards now are my favorite event of the year, because I love the combination.
Because it's condensed and it means things. It's not like stretched out and like not enough butter over too much bread for like 400 days.
We had the random kind of award stuff going on with this stream, and that was just like, because I jumped into it a little bit late, so I was able to just kind of like fast forward certain bits, but I would definitely kind of be annoyed if it was just cutting back towards this.
I mean, for the Game Awards too, like he'd had a couple of years where it was just, because he's the Dorito Pope, like he's done a million of these sponsorship things before, and it is that balancing act. And there were a couple of years where he was getting too carried away with sponsorship ads and stopping the show, and he has a banner across the bottom for something else. But I feel like last year's show and the one before it were really, really solid. And I'm fascinated by the way that he's sort of trying to cut a swath through the middle. It's like, well, this is the showcase show and this is the award show, but we're also going to put trailers over here and reveals over here. And obviously he's going to know what the Game Awards are going to be later this year, so he doesn't want to blow too much for the Opening Night Live thing. But at the same time, he's slowly building up Gamescom as this sort of rival to E3. So I think I was kind of fascinated by it. I didn't really get blown away by stuff. I love Saints Row as an overall thing. I love the wackier. I'm playing back through Saints 4 right now, so I love the Saints 3 and Saints 4 stuff. The trailer didn't do much for me, but I think the gameplay itself looks pretty solid.
I like the reveal for it. I totally didn't understand, like, after it, like, the next day, I think I saw there was, like, a massive backlash against it because they weren't dressed in, like, low-waisted jeans. Like, come on, guys, it's not 2007 anymore. Like, let people
would totally take
have a good fashion sense.
I think it's just, they're definitely trying to make it for a more modern audience, and I think that a lot of people, I mean, that's the thing, I love Saints 3 and Saints 4, especially 3, and I know that people who, like, would say that they love Saints Row tend to be skewing towards the first and the second, which are more, like, gangster-based, more GTA style, and I guess that's just not what the new Saints Row is going to be. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to be Volition trying to pick from all 4 or 5, if you count God Out of Hell, identities for those games, and then try and go, okay, what the hell do we do going forward? I think that's kind of interesting to see. Next question from Jake Sawyer. What do you think of the possible Death Stranding 2 that's in negotiations from Norman Reedus? Benroy, you're a massive, massive can't stop talking about Death Stranding fan. Do you want more of it?
Yes, I don't want this silly director's cut. I don't want 7 months of everyone talking about this director's cut where it's like, oh, you're going to get a little race mode in it, and Kojima teasing me with his desk every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I would love a Death Stranding 2. I don't know where it would go. I would have to get emotionally prepared for it for like 6 months before it was going to come out. But at the same time, it's weird because people will just hate this. Like, I'm here for whatever Mr. Hideo Kojima does. I will play another new title. I'd love to go back to a Metal Gear, but I'd also at the same time, Death Stranding, if you can take it somewhere interesting and build upon the world in the state it was left, then sure. But at the same time, I can or cannot, but I would love it.
I don't know what you do for a Death Stranding 2 as a rhyme, but
thing ends, it seems very final,
Lads, as someone who didn't play Death Stranding, I was getting progressively more and more wound up at Opening Night Live, seeing this more and more. We have races in this case. The game came out a year ago, 2 years ago. Like, why? Who cares about adding this stuff in right now? And then at the end, there's the weird upside down whale. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, honestly, no. I'm gonna enjoy a potential Death Stranding sequel the same way I enjoyed the first, which was living vicariously through you guys and Josh Brown as you told me more and more progressively weird things about the game, because it's not something that I can consume. I think I appreciate it for what it is. I love Mads Mikkelsen. I'm always down for more Mads content. If there's a chance Mads Mikkelsen can be in a video game again, that'd be fun. But I'm just looking at this thing and I'm just like,
well, it's like,
I'm happy for Benroy. That is what I'm trying to say here.
That was the thing. I mean, I loved Death Stranding till the end, and I was just like, nope, this is too stupid. And it completely lost me. But right now, Death Stranding is just like living inside Kojima's mind. It's whatever he can think of, including Metal Gear Solid missions. Like, the director's cut has Metal Gear style missions, like proper full on camera style, cinematic style, going after guards in a small room where they're all on patrol. It's very Metal Gear.
Can I also jump in and just say, that also makes me not want to play it, because after playing all the VR missions in Metal Gear 2 this year, I don't want to play another video game after that. That was one of the most tormenting things I had done to myself, and I did it.
And you're full.
Yes.
It was all very self-inflicted. But yeah, he's definitely got Metal Gear on the brain, considering, like I said, those missions. But also that giant whale reminds me of Metal Gear Solid V's, the giant whale that ate the helicopter thing. I just feel like he's gradually got more Kojima over the years. Like, Metal Gear Solid 1 was translated by one American dude who kept it nice and grounded and quite Western. And then over the years, he's gone, no, that's not what it is at all. I'm going to have a vampire running on water. I'm going to have a mob. I'm going to have a whale flying. I don't care. And so now it's just, he's got full creative control and a blank check. And it's just like, he is absolutely everything.
It's every time. It's like when Homer meets his long lost brother and he gets him to design a car. And the car is ugly as hell, but you all want to drive it.
But it tanks the respective company that's trying to keep control of it, and then he has to go somewhere else and build a different car. Death Stranding is absolutely that car in The Simpsons. But yeah, I think general thoughts, I'm curiously optimistic. I wouldn't want Kojima doing... I want him to do a horror game. Just do whatever he was going to do for PT, do that. Do a first-person horror game or something like that. Next question from Luke Cullen. What are your thoughts on Gotham Knights, and what are you hoping for in it? They just put a teaser out, because I think you found it earlier today. We already knew it was going to be the Court of Owls and stuff, but what's your general thoughts on the continuation of Arkham?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking... As you know, I'm the Arkham Origins defender, and I love all the content that Warner Brothers Montreal has done for the Arkham series. Like, the Matter of Family DLC prequel thing for Arkham Knight was far and away the best thing for me about that game. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they do now that they're not tied to the Arkhamverse. But yeah, the teaser today, basically building upon the announcement that DC Fandom is returning in October, and both Gotham Knights and the Suicide Squad developed by Rocksteady will be there as well. But yeah, Gotham Knights on the whole, I'm looking forward to. We all knew it was going to be delayed, given, you know, when they first showed it off last year, it still looked a little bit choppy. Didn't surprise me at all to see that it's been delayed again. But yeah, the idea of a Batman game without playing as Batman, you have your own customizable characters. I just think it's a very brave approach to that license, and it's something exciting. It's everything that the Marvel games, apart from Insomniac Spider-Man, aren't. Like, you know, it's fresh, it's exciting, it's a new interpretation, new unique art style, isn't leading into any one cinematic approach, you know, fully grounded within the comics, their own vision. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to seeing more of that gameplay, and hopefully seeing more of the combat in particular, because it's the one thing that I'm not too sold on yet. Is the combat looked a little bit floaty to me the first I watched it. And if they can just get the polish down, they can make it, you know, work. My dream DC game has always been to play as like the Bat Fam with my friends. So like, if they nail that down, then yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to seeing
that. Seems like that's what they're going for. I definitely see their co-op game and only think I want to play it solo. So I don't know how well they're going to be able to accommodate the likes of me.
Scott, it can be my. I don't know who you want to play as. It could be mine.
I mean, that's the thing. I'll try the co-op modes out. I just think that, I don't know, I'm always someone who just wants to play things solo. That's always my thing. And I'm curious if I can play this as the next Arkham game, or whether it is meant to be more multiplayer. Because to be honest, the little teasers of what co-op fights can be in Arkham Knight were really solid. And the fight choreography and setting people up for specials, or setting your partner up for specials, was really, really cool. Benroy, you an Arkham fan? Are you bothered about Gotham Knight?
Maybe so. I should open my sealed copy of Arkham Asylum and play that.
You really should. Have you never played Arkham Asylum?
Hell's Heart, no. You've wounded me. Oh.
You should absolutely scrap. What are you playing right now? Metal Gear Solid 4. Scrap that. Scrap all of it. And go play Arkham Asylum. It's a good old time. Next question. Final question from Paolo Gonsalves, who says, what to expect from the Dead Space series reboot? Will it bring back veterans, or just focus on new players with more modern gameplay and cosmetic microtransactions? This feels like a do you trust EA style question.
This guy sounded, this person, I missed the name, sounds like they were an EA rep. Like, do you think you will be for the new people? Do you think you'll bring out old fans that really want the game? And this hurts my throat doing this, but do you think he's going to bring back everyone to begin the most?
Are you saying the EA Sports guy is out of a job? Yeah, he's doing this now from everyone. Like, you just hear his voice, just, and you know it's the EA Sports guy, and he can't mask it because it's the EA Sports guy voice.
It sounds like a sell pitch, this question, and yes, I think I'm jumping all over you now, Scott, and clambering at the top of that. I think it probably will be. They want it to bring back the old people because they want their money, and they want the new people's money, because a lot of people have turned 18 since those last games came out. I don't want it to be anything like Dead Space 3, because if it is, I would, if I had the disc, I would snap it, because Dead Space 3 is such a bad,
such violence,
such a game that was punishing to my soul, that I never want to, that I almost never want to go near. List.
Video games that punished our soul.
And Dead Space 3 is one of them.
Yeah.
But Dead Space 1 and 2, excellent.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, they have to be more than aware of the trajectory of that series. I mean, 3 was so hung up and just going, this is an example of what not to do. And I feel like even the most hardcore Dead Space fans hate 3. And so the whole thing with the reboot is that it's going to be first person, which immediately changes the whole vibe of how you explore whatever ship they put it on. And I have to assume that they're like remaking the basic beats of the first one. Like the same sort of, at some point they'll have some sort of iconic corridor jump scare or something like that. And you'll be playing as Isaac Clarke and everything. But
give us a remake a la Resident Evil 2, not a la Resident Evil 3.
Well, yeah, but even then, like, it's going to be first person, so I guess...
Yeah, it feels more like a Biohazard type shift, doesn't it? Like, it's a case of, like, taking the action first person. And again, I there is something inherently more scary about playing a game in first person. Like, to this day, I can't go near Alien Isolation because it scares me.
Well, that's the thing.
Much.
I mean, I guess that's what they're drawing from. Like, yeah, Alien Isolation, doing the whole first person sort of, like... zeitgeist of the 2010s, where Resident Evil went first person, they can try something like that. But yeah, overall, like the whole idea of, like, I guess more modern gameplay, cosmetic microtransactions, I would have to imagine they'll stay away from it. They haven't mentioned a multiplayer mode yet. Like I said, by the time you watch this, we'll have seen whatever they've got planned for tonight. So there is that.
I don't think there's going to be anything from tonight. I think it's going to be a few people talking into a webcam and it'll be disappointing. That's my bet.
Concept art.
I hate to be that person, but I just don't think this soon after it. And if they show a trailer, then... I mean, I'll quit.
Well, I mean, all the behind the scenes type stuff, because it's not the original creator of Dead Space is no longer with EA, and he left on really bad terms. Like Glenn Schofield, he's now doing the Callisto Protocol, which looks really promising. That looked like a new Dead Space. PUBG Universe. And then we realized what it actually was. And that, for me, that's where I'm going to go. That's where my Dead Space energy is going to go. So at some point, I'm just curious whatever a Dead Space looks like when you give it to another team and see what that is. But all the behind-the-scenes stuff pointed to the fact that they only greenlit this because of Callisto Protocol. Because it was just, they saw that coming together and it was like, well, we've got what he's going to do, so we should do the actual Dead Space. And I feel like that means that we're not actually going to get anything for like 3 more years, 4 more years. Ewan, do you have any closing thoughts on the old Dead Space?
No, I'm just looking forward. I love that IP. You know, I'm really excited.
The PUBG shared universe, mate.
The PUBG shared universe. I like Dead Space. I always kind of, my experience of that was watching people play it in like 10-minute uploads on YouTube when they first came out because I wasn't allowed to play them. And then getting really grossed out with the old eye stabby part. But, you know, as with all horror video games, I'm looking forward to experiencing this vicariously through scared YouTubers and streamers, so I could laugh at them and go, "Ha ha, you're scared, not me."
That's
ha,
not
ha.
Me. I hope they do the I've completely forgot about the big old eye stab bit. I hope they do that in first person just to try and make history again with eye torture.
Just cut out half the screen.
Needle or some sort of horrific set piece.
For me, that eye stab bit in Dead Space 2 is uniquely tied to the royal wedding in like 2010 because I was playing that game rather than watching it on TV. So, you know,
both good. Similar experiences, one could argue.
Yeah, just combine the audio for the ultimate English experience. But yes, this has been the What Culture Gaming podcast. Thanks to everybody for sending in their submissions and questions. We will see what happens next week. If not much is going on, we'll get more questions in. And for now, though, I've been Scott Tilford, joined by Benroy Turner.
Hi,
with a
surname.
Goodbye. Knew it the whole time. Ewan Patterson as well.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.